Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Thank you, Mary J. Blige. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. You're listening to Talk Straight on blogtalkradio.com, and we're live streaming on Facebook. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. You've just heard a promotion for a school model, an educational venture that we seek to do right here in Nashville, Davidson County, in the interest of building young lives. All right? Give due notice and govern yourselves accordingly. Tonight, though, we're talking from the platform of Building Families and Communities Institute, which is the sponsor of this national dialogue that's been going on now since 2016, 5 years now. We're grateful. We're grateful that we've been able to continue to keep in or to maintain this open dialogue with you all over. And we're grateful for our callers from Chicago area, from New Orleans, from St. Louis, Missouri, from Peoria, Illinois, from Michigan, from out of Jacksonville, Florida, Georgia. We're grateful for all of them and each and every one of you that has and that will join us. 657-383-0944. That is the number to call live tonight as we're in the studio. If you're new to the show, we open up our dialogue to you, our listening audience. When there's a topic, as there is tonight, we will offer a brief monologue to give some context to the topic of discussion and then offer you an opportunity to share your ideas. As the host and producer, I believe that that is the best way we all can learn. We all bring infinite value to these conversations, okay? They're recorded, so you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute if you'd like to hear the show again and if you'd like to copy it or download it and hear it in its entirety. But we encourage you to join us live. Join us live, 657-383-0944. That is the number that you can call right here in the studio. So the fourth and fifth verses of Titus offers an example of the type of teaching and care a mother gives to a young lady. Perhaps the latter will prevent so many young ladies from getting caught up in all sorts of peril, danger, precarious situations where they wind up being abused, misused, and exploited. They face heartbreak at a very young age, and they feel disrespected. Now, moreover, beloved, the need for wise women. What you say, doctor? Wise women. Let me say I realize that I won't be able to be as lovely and beautiful as a woman, and I don't want to, okay? But we do need some wise women to teach a young girls how to properly grow from being a female to a woman to a wife and a contributor to humanity. So tonight I'd like for you to join me as we discuss the character gap between a woman and just somebody who is out there. All right? The need for motherhood in 2021. That is the topic of discussion tonight on this May 4th, 2021 on Talk Straight. On Talk Straight. The need for motherhood. Do I have to tell you all that this coming weekend we'll be celebrating the national holiday, Mother's Day? Now, I've always argued that Mother's Day is every day, especially if you're blessed to have your mother still on this side with you. Some of us are not. But any day to remember the importance and the power of motherhood is a good day. All right? But that brings us to our topic tonight, the need for motherhood in 2021. I want to hear from you. Again, you can call me here at 657-383-0944. Facebook, if you're following us. You want to post a question or comment, I'll be happy to ask it. Now, of course, the only thing we ask is that everybody be respectful to one another. There are oftentimes a case where there are differing positions on various topics of discussion, and that's fine. I don't expect everybody to agree with me, you know. But what we can do is agree to disagree, and at the end, when everybody hear both sides, we can draw our own conclusion. How about that? But what I strive to do as the producer and host is to offer factual information relative to our conversation, something that you can reference, okay, and that you can look at, you can compare it, you can contrast it, and you can come to a conclusion with it. But it's something that's out there that's previously documented, if you will. All right, that's what we strive to do. And so having said that, I don't purport to have all of the answers. But we have given some thought to particularly our topics of discussion that we present to you. Tonight's topic is the need for motherhood in 2020. So text, I have two tonight, and that's really the substance of it. And then my good friend, the late, great Marvin. First, cut a song that is apropos to our discussion tonight. We'll hear from him a little bit. Well, we'll hear from him a little bit. First, let's hear from the scriptural text, Holy Writ, that can provide guidance to all that want it. Some people don't want it. I understand. I respect that. But those of you who are interested, hear ye, hear ye. Titus, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5, reads like this. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wait. Hold on. Why should such teaching, instruction, example go forth? So that the word of God be not blasphemed. Okay. Look at Proverbs 31 and 10, a very familiar passage of text. And I don't have to convince you of that. Let's look at 10 and 11, Proverbs 31, 10 and 11. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need for spoil. It seems to me that the text strongly suggests that the significant and primary purpose of a woman is to work in concert with her husband or man. I noticed the text didn't say that they may teach the young girls. Didn't say that. Say women, to be sober. I wonder what is it about the difference between a girl and a woman? Well, you know, the girl is still in a developmental phase, both physiologically and emotionally, psychologically. Typically, a woman has reached an age of maturity and has gained enough experience to understand that everything in life is not free, and that there are certain things that are worth having that one must work for. Let me say that again. A woman understands that everything in life does not come free. And if there's something worth having, you must work for it. On the flip side of that, you got a right to defend it. What the text is telling here, Titus is talking to a group of people in the New Testament disposition, some that were not naturally a part of the nation of Israel and were not privy to Jewish law and things of that nature and the culture. He was telling them that as you come into the faith, these are good, healthy instructions for all the women to teach the young to be sober, not to have anything that is distorting your thought, that is you not being inebriated with foolishness, such as things you see in the media, negative examples of what a womanhood is. But being sober. Watch this. Then it says to love their husband. Wait. What is this? Me hearing folks say, you ain't got to be married. Not necessary. Now, listen. Yes, I'm a pastor. I am. Yes, I'm a husband. I am. Father. I am. But I'm someone who cares about you. And this interesting thing about this husband, this wife thing, what it represents, beloved, is a conscious choice or commitment between a male and a female to do something. And that is to come together as one and to replicate life and to build family. Family is the building blocks of any community or greater society. All right? You have a number of families that make that up, just like a brick in the building. And what the text is saying, that what a woman focuses on is working in alignment and communication as one with her husband, and to love her children. That's the offspring that comes from it. I know that's not what we see in social media. That's not what we see on the regular media and TV. We don't see it in the streets. You may have seen our promo where there's a church mother, what typically is associated with a church mother, dolled in her beautiful attire that's typically worn on Sunday. And the mothers of the church sit on the front row. on the side, and they all dress in white, representing pureness, huh? Representing being chaste, being discreet, huh? Representing being sober in their teaching, in their thought. And they stand ready at all times as an instruction and example for young men in 2021. The one place that I know in the Afro-American experience, you used to be able to go and get some good, sound, what they call mother wit teaching, of sensible instruction, rational thought. It seems as though that's the one place, particularly young folk, you're talking about young ladies right now, young men too, but young ladies, are running away from. They're rejecting such examples, such information. That's something, beloved, we need to really take account to. And I can say so as a pastor. What is it that I'm doing that is not meeting the mark? All right? There's a need for motherhood in 2021, a focused concept here. All right? Look at verse 5. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. I'm trying to meddle. Not keeping up mess in the streets. Help me, Holy Ghost. Not keeping up with anybody else's business outside of your home, but keepers at home. And if you do that right, some of our children wouldn't be at risk in the streets. Now, you notice I'm not just beating up on the mama. Not just beating up on the woman. We're talking about a concerted effort with man and woman, husband and wife. That's what the text is telling us. That is the lesson of motherhood, example of motherhood. I've been pastoring for 26 years, and I was fortunate to have several couples who had been married over 50 years. Beautiful people. And every time I would ask them, they all had one thing they say was the main ingredients. And that was simply that they worked toward staying together. They didn't have any hesitation to let me know that there were bumps in the road, that there were challenges, that sometimes they weren't even sure, you know, if things were going to last. But they, one thing they knew, and that was that they were going to work together, they were going to stay together through it all. The need for motherhood in 2021. Doctor, why are you saying that? You're just a preacher. Yes, I am a preacher. But I know that even if I were not a preacher, this type of guidance will help spare a lot of our babies from heartache, from pain, from loss, from disappointment. Yes, it will. Will it just do this for African Americans? No, it'll do this for Caucasians. It'll do it for Hispanics, for Asian, anybody. Because the principle, order, is what is right. I'm going to go to this word motherhood in just a second. We're going to break it down and examine it just for a second. But I want to give you the background to our context here. And so the basis for my conversation tonight is in Titus 2, verses 4 through 5, and Proverbs 31 and 10. You've just heard me intimate the meaning of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and we're working ourselves through the fifth. Okay? And we're going to get to Proverbs 31, and then we're going to hear my good friend, the late, great Marvin Gaye, and what he says about a woman. All right? But you can bear with me. That will give me a few more minutes. We're going to open up the phone at 657-383-0944. Call me tonight. Correct me. I want to go to heaven. I want to do right. So if I'm wrong, somebody help me. All right? Somebody help me now. Don't just look at me like that. Just help me out. All right. Back to where we were. Verse 5, we're talking about being discreet. We've been talking about being chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. Oh, my goodness. Good God. What did you just say, Doctor? I know you didn't say obedient to their own husband. Did you just say that? Did I just hear him say that? Yes, you did, beloved. Yes, you did. Why you say that, Doc? when you do that, when a husband is obedient to Elohim, God the Creator, and a wife is obedient to a husband, guess what? There is safety and security and order in a family. Oh, I wish I had a prayer church today. Say that again, Doctor. All right. When a husband, a man, is obedient to Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God of creation, when it made him, and he has a wife that is obedient to him, there is safety, security, and order in the family. Guess who is the benefactor of that? Offspring, the children. See, I've said it many times before. If you show me a baby, a child, out in the streets, unsupervised, at any time of the day, I'll show you a child that did not have a father and a mother that was keeping them safe. See? The need for motherhood in 2021. I love you. That's why I'm telling you, because I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't even say that to you. I wouldn't even talk to you if I didn't love you. But you know I love you like peanut butter loves jelly. I prefer wheat bread, you know, in a cold glass of milk. But that's my preference. Have you want to eat it, you know what I'm talking about. All right? So in verse 5, it goes on to explain why this is important. Why should older women teach young women, young girls, how to grow up to be women and being sober and committing themselves in the context of family and marriage and being a mother, having children, loving them? Why should old women tell young girls that you should aspire to do that? Why should they tell them to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home and obedient to their husband? Well, that is so that the word of God is not blasphemed. That means that you don't make a fool out of God's word, his intention for man and woman's creation. Made null and void, of none effect. That's what that means. How can you tell us that, doctor? Well, God sent me here to tell you. By the power invested in me and authority on high, I come to tell you that there's a need for motherhood in 2021. Left by Terry, let me go to Proverbs briefly, and then I'm going to explain what this word motherhood means. Open up the phone lines to you. 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Correct me if I'm wrong, man. I stand to be corrected. See, I don't know everything, and I've only been here for a little while. But I know one thing. We need some motherhood in 2021. All right, Proverbs 31:10. What is it? What is it, doctor? What is it? It asks a question. It begins by an inquiry. If we were to exegete this text properly, one of the things that I believe a student of the Bible would do is to consider that the question that is being asked is for a reason. Something prompted it, you understand? Which infers that at some point in time, there was a need for the identification of what a virtuous woman is and that people were looking for it. Are you with me? Just walk with me just for a second. It's what a student, these are the type of interrogatory questions that a student of the Bible would ask. Maybe you're not a student of the Bible. I'm talking to students of the Bible right now. And maybe you could, perhaps you will become one. All right. Who can find a virtuous woman? Then it goes on to describe, for her price is far above rubies. Y'all know that rubies is a natural resource that is grown out of the earth. It's a type of diamond, you understand. Very precious thing that comes out of the earth. And people will literally kill and die for it. A virtuous woman prices far above rubies. That's what we need mothers teaching young girls. Grow up to be a virtuous woman. Understand that we realize that you want to be beautiful, that you want to be valued, validated, but you don't have to sell yourself short. Help me, Holy Ghost. Grow up understanding that when you hold yourself to a standard and you hold everybody else to that same standard for you, male and female, that you command respect from people, that you're not just an object to be played around with, your mind, your body, and your soul. Beloved, I'm telling you what I taught my daughter. She'll be 25 pretty soon. But that's what I taught her. Now, being 25, she's legally grown. She don't have to accept it, but guess what? It's still the truth. And I can sleep at night knowing that I gave her, along with my wife, such instruction. Does that mean she ain't going to fall in love with some nappy-head rascal? Time will tell. Time will tell. But the last time I was there with her, she's in Wisconsin now working. I was at her apartment, and we were putting stuff up on the walls, decorating her apartment. It's been a few years ago now. And I said, so I just need a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to put this in a frame. I wrote on the, I'm telling you the truth, man. I'm telling on myself. I wrote on the paper, her daddy keeps his Remington shotgun locked and loaded at all times. Put that on the front door at the door. That's all I'm saying. Now, what's going to happen? Time will tell. My point is simply, beloved, that it is important that you be focused and deliberate about passing this information on to our beautiful, sweet, precious young girls. So they grow up admiring, respecting themselves, and demanding respect from others. You command respect through your appearance, through the words that come out of your mouth, through your production and what you do, how you carry yourself. That commands respect. Baby girls need to know that. That should be the goal for every little girl that's born in the world, to be the most virtuous woman that you can ever be, far above the cost and the value of rubies. Now, suppose you fell short. And you didn't do that. Suppose you had a hard life. Suppose you got lost and turned out. It's still hope for you to become virtuous. You know why? Because Elohim God, the creator of the universe, made you with infinite value and worth. You just got to find it. And perhaps you can be that example. You could be that voice of instruction to some young girl who can avoid those pitfalls. Hence the need for motherhood in 2021. Yes, there are mothers who have had a hard time and who have made mistakes. And I would imagine that they regret those. And if they could go back and turn the hands of time, change the course of their lives, that they would. But guess what? Even if that's you tonight, here's what you can always say to your babies. Though I made a mistake, I'm your mother and I still love you. And we got the rest of our lives to get it right. Have I got a witness? We've got the rest of our lives to get it right, to get it right. Lastly, the heart of a husband does it. Now, let me say something. Text didn't say the heart of a pair of britches. Text didn't say the heart of a grown boy playing like he a man. Didn't say that. It said a husband. Or perhaps we'll spend time intimating fatherhood again. You might know that that's an area that I study in a great detail and have proper writings on and seminars on. But we're not getting into that tonight. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. And we're talking from the topic, the need for motherhood in 2021. So what is this motherhood, Doctor? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Look at the word mother. I don't know what a mother is. You can't be a mother without having given birth to a child. Say what? It's possible to representatively represent a mother and not have given physical birth to a child, be motherly, or have motherly characteristics. But every female that has given birth to a child becomes a mother when they demonstrate something. And that's the other part of the word, the hood, the motherhood. What is a hood? It's a covering. And under it are certain things. What things, Dr.? Under it are certain values, certain principles, certain order. And that is what the text is talking about. You bring these children in an ideal situation in the world, and you make a promise, you make a commitment. That's what marriage is. That's why it's important for a young lady, before you give of your body, of your soul, your spirit to a young man, that the two of you understand that we're making a commitment for life. Because what we do naturally, biologically, bring forth life. And we should be prepared to make a promise before the Creator, amongst ourselves, and to those children, that we are going to provide you a quality of life. This is what motherhood is all about. It's a covering for children. It's a covering for a husband. It is a covering for the family institutions that the Almighty designed from creation. Motherhood. In fact, she is the curator of the family. Oh, I wish I had one somebody to pray with me tonight. This one, the need for motherhood. Young baby, young lady, please understand that the reason you demand and command, I said this earlier, respect from everybody, and you learn, see, and you learn how to be a woman, is because you have the power, you have the potential to be a curator, an administrator of a family. Yeah, that means you're more than just a piece of meat, more than something to be played around with, more than something to be sold in exchange, more than something to be taken lightly. Say, what's on my door? Don't nobody want no dumb money. I'm no disrespect. Yes, you should educate yourself. Yes, you should develop yourself. You bring something to the table in the marriage. And if that little rascal ain't got none, guess what? Sorry, holla. But when you have something to build upon together. We'll get to the brothers and men. Tonight we're talking about the need for motherhood, this state or condition or position in life that is not to be taken lightly. All the mothers. Those that are here now, those that have come and gone, and those that have left their love, left their care, left their imprint on our lives. Thank God for you. We want to thank them tonight. Yeah. So as we just look and walk through the text in Titus 2 and 4 through 5, verse 4 to 5, and Proverbs 31 and 10 and 11, what we understand, beloved, is that there is a state. There is a state. What you say, doctor? I said there is a state in which guidance, instruction, love, and all of these things that are poured into the life of a baby or a child comes from. And one of those states, there's two states. One of those states, one of those conditions, one of those circumstances is motherhood. That's what we need in 2021, motherhood. I promise you that my good friend, the late, great Marvin Gaye, was going to tell us about what kind of woman. Now, listen. You check this out, and we'll talk about it. Give it to him, Marvin. What you say, man? Give it to him right quick. Oh! Don't get up. So what you want? What kind of woman you want? What kind of lady you want? Listen. Pastor Waller, I want you to help me out, man. I want to go to heaven tonight, and I don't want to go to hell. Is that all right, Pastor Waller? Ever, Pastor? Come on, talk to me tonight. 657-38.
I don't know what's going on, man, but I see you got a thing going on, man. What's happening, Pastor?
Yes, sir. We're talking about motherhood tonight, Pastor. The need for it in 2021. And I strive to humbly share with our listening audience the background of this motherhood that I'm talking about. Let me yield the floor to you for a second. This is our co-host, Pastor Richard Waller. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is Talk Straight. And we're going to talk straight about the need for motherhood in 2021. And I try to draw a distinction between a mother and anything else. Pastor, what do you think about that?
Well, I know not a lot about it. I won't say I do know a lot about it. I can only say that she has a position as a mother when she become one. She would be able to live and learn some things. What she do with it once she learned, I'm sure it would be something that would be displayed. And when I say displayed, whether good or bad, it's going to be something that's going to be noticeable. And what is expected, you know, from a mother, you know, it's another thing. But I can still hear the power of the Word of God, which is something that I've always, since I've known a little bit about the Word of God, how important a woman is, you know, I know she is a gift from God. I do know that.
Okay.
I didn't know it years ago, but now I do, and it don't have nothing to do with just one particular day. It has to do with a woman's soul. It's only just for one day, I think that would be detrimental to what she's really capable and qualified to carry out, and that is her position in life. That's what's tough about a woman. I wrote a little something about it in my book about a woman.
Okay. Talk to me about it. Which book is that?
In Steer High, you know, and in the other one as well.
The first book. Hey,
so
tell us about
it. I didn't know a lot about a woman in her position and her qualifications, capabilities, and her worth. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. I thought I did, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. That's why I say I lived and learned and discovered how extraordinarily special she really is.
Right.
And that's the thing. So that's just a little bit of something that I can't say at this point. But
all right.
I guess just as I came into existence, I learned a little bit more about them. And I said, man, look what I missed out on.
Mm.
How special a woman really is. She is to be, I would say, treated with the utmost respect. And if that's not going on, it could be for the lack of knowledge. Like myself, I didn't have that knowledge, man. So yeah, I'm just going to tune in and listen to what you bring to the table. And maybe that could be a caller or someone that's familiar with it and know what she's capable and qualified to have, and you know, when she brings something very special in life, for instance, when she, most of the time, when she brings forth a child into the world, you know, things like that, you know, things like that, she should be able to get the more support at that point. But you know, life have dealt some tough hands out when it comes down to that. Sometimes one may impregnate a woman and she have the baby and suddenly the brother's nowhere around.
Does
that
make her any less than a woman? She had the baby, didn't get it by herself, man, but she was left with it all by herself. Does that make her any less than a woman?
No, that's why I'm saying this is something that they miss out on. Like, you know, a person that that would miss out on that particular portion of the woman, you know, that just had that baby, that precious gift, and then find herself looking around and saying, well, I don't have no one to assist me, even though I didn't do it by myself, you see. So,
right.
You know, get
right.
a bit of, you know, my daughter, you know, and her mother, and I give her credit for what she did, and the way she did it, I didn't understand it from the beginning, but when she had the baby, she realized within herself that it's going to be a strong and a very important position, you know, to have a child and knowing good and well that she's going to have to be taken care of.
Right.
And what
That's
she decided
right.
to do is she decided to make a move. And the move that I'm talking about is that she gave the baby to me.
And, say well, what?
And that was the move that she made. She made that
move. On,
and
yeah.
as I'm making that move, you know, the next thing I know, I got the little baby now. I'm bringing her up myself, and she's gone. She left. So one may think that she did something that was not cool. Well, I think she did something pretty cool myself. At least she thought enough of the child to make a decision that she felt like, I don't think she'll do too good in my hands, so I'm going to take and give her to the father, and that's what she did. So it's got a lot.
Well, Pastor, may I give you some roses right now? And we're talking about motherhood, and what you just said is that you identified a very, very important decision that your daughter's mother made, and that was to put her in hands. Now, obviously, she knew something about you to know that if she forced you, you would take care of business. And I want to give you credit today because I had the privilege of meeting your daughter and talking with her and even seeing your grandbaby. And you did a fabulous job, brother. Let me just say that. Let me say that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, brother.
And the little grandbaby, they're coming on up. I know they got you wrapped around their finger and everything.
Well, they're doing their thing, brother. They're doing their thing, man. Oh, no.
So that's, a
that's what I've been.
Yeah.
And
you
so
know.
It's just,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Just what I want to do. I want to hear what you got to say.
I was just going to say that a lot of times mistakes are made, right? And people, young ladies beat themselves up about the mistakes they made and really never give themselves another opportunity to get it right, right? And over time, their children have a tendency, because that is not processed, they're not counseled through that, and that's not dealt with properly. The children grow up, understandably, with a sense of loss, and that's a sense of friction in their relationship. But I was just saying earlier that it's important that mothers know that even if you've had a sidestep in life, and perhaps you think you weren't the best mother you could be, that's yesterday. Today is an opportunity for you to say to your children, listen, I recognize that I have made a mistake. But guess what? Together, we choose to move forward and do it better. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good thing. You know, when you make a mistake, and you do it, all you can do to correct it and move on, which is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's something that's meaningful.
Right.
You rest,
right.
You recognize that you made a mistake, because that happens sometimes. You know, people
it
do
does.
Make mistakes.
It does.
Yeah, it definitely happens.
Yeah, I mean, good people, and some well intended. You know.
A
lot of times it's the case, Pastor, that, you know, people become pregnant and they're in that position where they have to give life to their baby and they want the best, they just don't know a lot. And that's one of the things I was emphasizing in the monologue, that the text in Titus, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5, it was talking about how important it is for older women, for mothers, to teach the young women. You know, if you don't teach them, how are they going to know? You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
How would they know if you understand what I'm saying? And especially if it's your first time being giving birth or being pregnant or preparing to give birth, how would you, if you don't have a woman to teach you, how you gonna know? Your mama, grandmama, something. You know what I mean?
That's a good question. How are you gonna know? Because that's the requirement of bringing up a child. You know, the child is innocent. And then looking for guidance.
That's right.
That's what they're supposed to be. Guidance. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, Pastor, I would argue when you see a child acting out or misbehaving, that's an indication that there's a need for some guidance. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times what happens is people get angry with them, and they display that. But that's the teachable moment right there. That's the teachable moment. I know my mama broke a lot of bloom on me and my brother, man. She went through bloom. I'm talking about those wood bloom hands, those thick wood bloom hands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's a rest her soul, rest her soul. She broke a lot of bloom, man. But that, one thing about it is, I appreciate her wanting to make sure that what she tried to teach us, what she gave us, that we held on to it. That, now, we were a little hard here, Pastor. I ain't going to tell no lie now. I mean, come on. I'm going to shoot straight with you, Pastor.
That happens also.
Yeah. But I remember that broom hammer, though. I bet you that much. I bet you ain't going to ever forget that.
That's a memory that's going to linger.
Yes, sir. Well, she had 7 boys, man. She had 7 boys. And I'm talking about somebody's no matter sometimes. But, she did. Listen, she handled her business. In the project of Chicago, 7 boys in the housing project in Chicago. Can you imagine that?
Man.
Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. We on, and we're talking from the topic, the need for motherhood in 2021. You don't think we need motherhood in 2021? Let's talk about it. I ain't beat you up, you know. I'll respect what you have to say. I might learn something from you. But it certainly seems like to me, and every time I see young ladies, Pastor, when they decide to dress up in the morning, see, I can say this because God gave me the authority as a man of God to proclaim righteousness and truth, huh? And you know what John?
Okay.
You know what said Aiden? What's that, John? Aiden? What damn pastor? You know the truth and the what?
First 32.
You shall know the truth and it'll do what? Come on, God. Yeah, it will. And see, watch this. When a young lady, whether she know it or not, dresses herself up and step outside in the open, they are predators. I said predators. These are vultures that seek innocent, vulnerable people to take advantage of. Now, all she's trying to do is to be attractive, right? To be pretty, to be cute. To get some attention. That's all she really wants, isn't it? But she don't know.
You don't know
them vultures out there. You know Olivia. You know Olivia. You know the story about Olivia. She don't mean no harm, man. All she's trying to do is go out and enjoy nature. But there are some people out there waiting on her. You understand what I'm saying, Brother Preacher?
Yes, sir, brother.
Go ahead. Let me listen to you.
No, go ahead, because there are people that's waiting. That's the nature of when you grow it up, you're curious sometimes and you want some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens like that. You may not get the right type of attention, but you will get some. If you go down a path like that, unless you follow the training, that's a good thing, but sometimes they make a mistake and be lured into another route.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out later that, you know, following the good example or the good instructions was there for you, but you decided to go another route. Now, that happens as well. So,
sure.
And
sure.
Would you call it a mistake? Sometimes, you know, I can see it being a mistake, and there are times when I can see it being something used differently, rather than the realm of mistake by way of saying you were disobedient. You know, when you have that put in perspective, you know, in other words, you knew better, but you didn't show that you knew better.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
Yeah. Life will keep fun. One thing I found out, man, I found this out the hard way. The ground is not going to let you down. It'll catch you. Huh?
Right.
Be careful.
Okay.
Be careful. I don't care if you male or female. Be careful not to lose your balance and your leverage and fall, because the ground will catch you. You ain't got to believe me, but all you got to do is try it. Right? Make sure you're not meeting that ground from 10 stories high. Help us hold it though. Because it will catch
you. Most certainly. Yes, sir. Most certainly. It sure will do that.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. And there are other things in life that are just as real as the ground. It's called gravity, see? Sir Isaac Newton is given credit for being the primary person talking about the gravity thing. But it basically, the principal idea is that your weight is going to bring you down. The weight of who you are, what you've been through, where you come from, is going to level you back down to earth and keep you set on earth. Now, the more you can keep yourself there and not be thrust in the air and have to come down the highway, the better you are. I would think now. I'm just saying. And some of us through our life get caught up in situations, man, and we find ourselves elevated to levels that we don't want to be at. Then we have to come back down.
That's tough. Yes,
that's
sir,
right.
That's tough.
Preach about it, Doc. Come on, Pastor. Preach him. Talk to him. Minister to my soul. Somebody needs to hear this tonight, see? We don't have a lot of people call. 657-383-0944. Call in. We want to hear from you. We still got about another hour here, but somebody, hopefully somebody will hear this after tonight, Pastor, and understand. Listen, motherhood is important. We need the grown women, folks that understand, to teach these young girls. Don't be afraid to tell them. Don't be afraid to tell them. Baby, put something on yourself. You beautiful, but you don't need to show everybody how beautiful you are. You don't need to see all that. Come on, Pastor, talk to me.
Amen. You got to go into some of those stores. You know, I'm not financially able to go into those stores and see what they have, but I'm sure that stores can influence, you know, curious minds and make them want to come back and say, well, I didn't come in here for that, so let me make sure I come back and I got to have that. You understand?
Wow.
It looks like it's going to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person is desiring attention, then the stores oftentimes would serve you something that would help
get
the attention. It's sad to say, you know, it's that way, but then on the flip side, there's a respectable way of respecting oneself. And I'm sure that one was saying, well, just because they put on this garment, that doesn't mean they don't respect themselves. But that's not something that the eyes are going to say that's going to see it. They're not going to say, well, hey, she respects herself so much. Look at what she have on. Well, the eyes is going to have a different say a lot of times. You know, it would be a beautiful thing that the eyes would be able to understand and respect woman no matter what she have on. But it don't go like that, man. Don't go like that. You put yourself on display like that, and the time when when people start to zero in on you, and now you're making their own.
So it has
so much, man. And again, it's going back to what they're serving at the store, you know. And if the store didn't have it, brother, they couldn't put it on.
They wouldn't buy it. They wouldn't buy it, would they?
They wouldn't be able to try it on before they even purchase it. Sometimes they go try on this stuff and say, oh, yeah, man, this is it. And then they got stuff that they don't have to try it on. They just purchase it because of their
name. The first time my daughter asked me, can she go shopping with mama, was we went in the store and they had these certain type of boots on when she was in, what was she in, middle school, I guess it was. It was the Indian girl. I can't call her name right now. And Pocahontas. These were these big, very proper boots. And this particular store that was local where, you know, a lot of folk go, particularly African Americans, not just them, but whites as well. These were popular boots. It didn't seem like they had any shoes that I wanted her to have in any of the boots they had. She wanted a pair of boots. I said, well, let me get you a pair of boots. But I knew the story behind Pocahontas. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
I understood why it was being marketed at that time, particularly to certain populations of people, young girls in urban areas. I understood that. Because, see, you don't buy the boots, Pastor, unless you got these certain type of leotard type of tights that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what they do?
Okay.
They accentuate your body parts, your lower part of your body part, your curves. Now, you got to be dressed right from the top up to match that, don't you? Now, what you going to put? You going to put a baggy shirt on? No, you're going to put some on that accentuates the top of your body. That's the psychological game. That's a trap. So I went and asked the store manager, said, y'all don't have all the books? And all those are the most popular right now. I see. So I told my sweetheart, come on, let's go out of here. And we had to go across town. Now, she was a little upset or salty with Daddy.
Because
she didn't get and everybody at school had it. But I had
everybody
to go,
at school had it.
Everybody she knew in school looked like that. It seemed that way anyway. It was very popular. Very popular.
You see, see how that works?
You see, you're going to make Daddy be the bad guy. Daddy's going to be the bad guy. Daddy's going to be the bad guy. Because I didn't get no boots, man. I said, well, pick any of these up. Daddy, I don't really want those. I don't want my boots standing up. But you know what we had to do, Brother Preacher? We had to have one of our daddy-daughter days. It was just she and I all day. And we had conversations about a lot of things, really about life. And I was able to educate her on Pocahontas and on the style for the day and who the person name was behind the boots that were being sold. It wasn't even Pocahontas. They were just called Pocahontas boots. But when she realized who was promoting and what was their agenda, she understood a little bit better. Okay, well, I don't like it for that reason, Dad. That ain't why I want them. I said, well, there are a lot of people don't know that that's not why they want them, but they don't realize how marketing, and you said the stores, the people that are selling this junk, they're controlling your life, and you don't even know it. That's why we need women to raise girls, to teach them how to dress before they come outside, how to keep up with their bodies, and to really make themselves attractive and beautiful in a way that you have some sort of mystique about yourself. You don't put everything out there for everybody to see. You know, a man has to work for some good God. So I'm sorry, be quiet, Pastor. Let me just.
Well, hey, man, life is interesting when it comes down to it. Very, very interesting. And if marketing is going to make a difference, when a person is putting together some garment, you know, they're going to consider whether they're going to move or not. And if they write material, then they're expecting it to move. And so I can only imagine them stocking up with things that they don't believe that is popular for today's time. Quote, today's time. I don't understand what that means, today's time. You know, but so I know that respect is respect on any given day is supposed to be. And then a disrespect. So some stores would say, if it's not a disrespect, then it's not something worth having. So, I mean, when I say that, I'm talking about self-respect is where the disrespect comes in. If the self-respect, you're good. If you take self-respect and fall for what they're bringing to you, then that's what gives you the person, I would say, the form of disrespecting self, because what's going to happen, the attention that is going to be upon the person who's putting this garment on, is going to cause a lot of friction, like it or not. You know, your attention is going to be there, and they're going to tell me, did you see what she had on? And, man, she showed, she looked so good, you know. And that's the thing that's going to happen sometimes. There's some going to say, man, she ought to be ashamed of herself, what she doing with that on. Now, that's not because that's all she had to wear. It's just because she's trying to get some attention, you know.
My God.
And if it could have been that she just had that and that on, that's the only thing she had to put on. That's a different thing. But it's just for the attention, brother, that's a lot of that going on, man.
Well, yes, sir. And that is the ultimate aim and goal of the garment industry, is to basically position a young lady to bring attention to herself. And depending on how old she is, oftentimes she can't even handle all the attention she brings to herself. And that's called we got a caller here. We're talking from the topic tonight, the need for motherhood in 2021. I keep hearing people say, as you referred to earlier, these times. Listen. If it's something that's going to cause you to lose or kill you, you don't need it. I don't care what's going on today. What you need is sound instruction, like the text says. Let the old women teach the young. Huh? All right. Let me, I believe, is this Brother Joshua?
Yes, it is.
What's up, man? What's up?
Hey, let them look.
Tonight we're talking from the topic, the need for motherhood in 2021. What say you about that?
We always need mothers. They are the who we get birth to. So the mothers are the base of everything. Mothers really do all the work, as in mothers do the feeding and the childbirthing and the things that wives can't do. So mother is something that you got to depend on.
My God.
And if you don't have a mother, then that's a big deal.
I see.
Because you got to have your mom every once in a while to lean on.
Josh,
even now, you got to have your mama if you have a mama.
You coming right down my block, man. You coming right down my block. I want to throw a snowball at you, Josh. Get ready now. Get ready. You ready? I'm about to throw a fastball at you. Pastor Waller used to play baseball. I'm about to throw a fastball. 100 miles an hour. What is the difference in being a mother and a mama. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness. Maybe it's, what's the difference in the two of them? Or is there no difference?
Now, a mama is somebody that you can lean on, grasp, depend on. Now, the other one
is just mama
is just there every once in a while, and
what?
Disappears the next go around. So, they two different things. Mama, your mama, your mama now can do some things and stuff like that now. It's your mama
that
really can do all the things that you need and can lean on. Your mama.
I see. Well, okay. Pastor Wallace, you hear that? You hear that, Brother Pastor? I'm off.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm off.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, no, how you doing, Josh?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Thank you for asking, brother. You sounded really good. And I know you're always bringing something to the table that's beneficial. And so I want to thank you for the great reminder of how a mother's need is so valuable. And I would always look at that as, even for me today, my mother passed in 1996.
Okay.
And I still miss my mother, brother. And I tell you, you know one of the things that she left on record for me, Josh? She said to me one day, this is the time before I got my life together. She told me, she said, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Man, what did she tell me that? What did she tell me? She left pain on my brain, brother, that still remains. And I'm appreciative of it because she spoke truth to me. And as she said that, she was lying in the hospital on the bed, and I was out in the streets doing my thing. And I remember, talking about getting money, and I'm thinking that money make everything all right. And I found out through that business of mine at the hospital that money didn't mean all that much. She said, boy, and then I tried it because I took her some $100 bills up there to let her hold on to for herself. And just to let her know I'm all right. She told me, she said, boy, you need to go get you some rest. That's that motherly love, that's that discipline type of love that she had on me when she was able to. I should be up there trying to see about her. Guess what she was doing in return? Trying to see about me. You need to get you some rest. That's what she told me. And I'll never forget that. And so, when I guess about 10, maybe not 10 years later, but it wasn't very long after that visit. It was right in the 80s. And, all I was thinking about was, man, she said, I need to get this and this, so I must need to find myself. And so when it was about 1985, and so when 1990 came, I went in to get me some help. And sure enough, that was a big push when she said that. And I do miss her every day. I don't skip no days with that. So I want to thank you for reminding me that the value of a mother and a mother's love.
Mothers are valuable.
Yes, they are. Wow. If Josh, you made a distinction between just a mother and a mama. Now, I've heard people say, I did a few seminars and workshops for parents and what have you, when I was traveling in a couple of cities. And what one thing they said, Josh, is that there's no perfect parent. There's no definition of a perfect parent, right? So, well, that's true. That's true. So we had a little breakout exercise, Josh, and this kind of helped me put it all together. And in the breakout exercise, what we tried to do is to understand one's very sensitive being. There are a lot of people who think that too many mothers are too friendly or try to be their children's friend, okay? And I said to them that in my parental involvement training workbook, I have a paradigm where a part of it is where you have to be in a position like a friend to your children, not to be their friend, but understand like a friend. I want to make the distinction, okay? And so let me just try to parse these two things out. So when we talk about the mother, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show, but that is a very formal role, just like a father is a formal role. And it's not one to be taken lightly, right? Because the mother is in the life of a child. She has authority over that child. The mother has a formal presence that is to be respected at all times, right? Because she is the primary example for females as to how they are to become women, and for males as to how they respect, treat, and embrace a woman, okay? But she can wear another head, man, and she can make that head look good, too, boy. she could be a mother, but at the same time, consider this. Now, this is not written in stone anywhere like this, but consider that what makes her mama, though, guys, what makes her mama is when she can relate to you even when you mess up, Pastor Wall, just like you were just describing. She knows you're messing up. But guess what? She's loving enough to relate to the fact that she was once young. So the writer said, I was once young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the right. Look, mama knows that, okay, this boy or this girl is off cue right now, but I don't need to beat them up too bad. I need to be patient with them. Are y'all walking with me? That's mama.
Oh, yeah.
That's mama right there. Mama understands, Joshua, that she told me I can't have those chocolate chip cookies. Then she turned right around. There I got chocolate chip all over my mouth and on my hand. And when she asked me, where you been, doctor? I tell that lie. I wasn't in the cookie jar. It wasn't me, mama. But guess what? She understands, Josh. She understands my insatiable desire for those chocolate chip cookies. She may not whoop me right then, but she wants me to understand, baby, when I say you can't have it. You can't have it. Can you see the difference between mother and mama, Josh? Talk to me about that. Help me with that.
Well, you have to put a strict line of a mama and your actually friend. You gotta put a line on that. It's a very strict line. and that line can't go astray. No.
Watch this. Help us, Holy Ghost. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, Josh. Break that thing down to me like I'm 3 years old. Da-da-da-da. Come on, Josh. Come on. That strict line.
Your mama just did all this stuff for you, and you can't even say thank you because you just a little old child. You're not even 2 years old yet. See? So you can't even say thank you yet for all the things she's done.
That's you. My God. My God. My God. My God. Okay. Okay, okay. Look, Josh. Mama can give you a pass, but a mother will whoop your behind when she needs you. I wish I had a witness here tonight. What? Look, a mother will keep you safe by tapping that little booty when she needs to. That's what a mother would do because she knows she got to. Is that right, Pastor Walker?
She got to do it.
That's right. That's right. And she has the authority to do it, doesn't she? She has the authority to whoop your behind when she needs to.
She's responsible for you. When she's responsible for you, that
Amen.
Calls you to have
that.
The authority to do that.
That's right. That's right. And I read somewhere, gentlemen, somewhere I read that a fool despises authority or instruction. I read that somewhere. I believe it was somewhere in the Old Testament, somewhere around Proverbs somewhere. It's going to come back to me in a minute. But a fool despises instruction. That's what the text said. And here's the thing, Pastor Paul and Josh, if our mothers allowed us to have our way, do whatever we wanted to, wouldn't that put us in danger and peril?
Yes, it would.
Yes, sir. So just because she whooped me don't mean she don't love me, Pastor Paul. She probably whooping me because she loved me. I don't necessarily mean brutal physical punishment all the time as it is real discipline, right? And if you need to, snatch them up, you know. But if you need to. When you get through snatching, I'm telling you, I love you. I did that because I love you, man. Don't make me have to do that no more. You understand what I'm saying, Josh? I don't make me have to do that no more.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No. You made me have to go there. Don't make me have to do that no more. We're trying to animate a point here. But this conversation about motherhood is formal, and that's why I put it together like that, because it is a state or position that is not to be tampered with. It's not to be diminished. It's not to be disregarded. And in the absence of motherhood, young children in particular are unsafe. Joshua, do you mind if I reiterate something I said in the monologue from Titus 2 and 4? Is it okay if I go there? So what the text tells us is that there is important to teach young girls to be women so that they can do three things, Josh. One, to be sober in their actions. That means to be clear.
What does that mean?
That means to be clear in their thought, influenced negatively by anything. You with me?
Uh-huh.
All right. The second thing is to love their husband. Uh-oh. What I say that for, Pastor Wong? Because today, you ain't got to be married. You ain't got to be married. Anybody heard that before? You ain't got to be married. Lord have mercy. But the Bible says something. Let me keep going, because it's going to tell us why we got to do these things, Joshua. Be sober. Be clear in your thinking. Love your husband. And watch this, Joshua. To love their children. That's what a mama does. How she do that? Now, why she want to do this, Joshua? If you drop down to verse 5, it goes on to explain in the end that the word of God be not blasphemed. I wish I had a witness today. I'm in the valley, Joshua, and I'm praying all by myself. I can't hear nobody praying. Have I got a witness tonight?
One of the things about the Word of God, you know, it's the is so powerful that a lot of people, and I'll say that myself, that didn't know any better, couldn't
right.
even show it better. Then when you start to get a chance to look into it and realize that that's a starting point, and you just get to the point where you're hungry and thirsty for more of it, and it seems like you just can't handle it all at one time, man. And that's the beauty of the Word of God, man. And I tell you, it's got so much good information that'll break you down and make you know that that's what happened with me.
Right,
you realize the Word of God has taught me some things, and now I can't even go back and do what I used to do. I miss that foolishness, that foolishness, man. But it was foolish, and you were talking about it earlier, a fool despised.
My God.
Okay, and
okay.
And so that's why it's like that, because the person is a fool. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's what I'm doing. And it's not because I had the instructions of the Word of God. It's just that I didn't know it. So that made me a fool. And then once I discovered and found out, I said, oh, man, look at here. I've been a fool for a long time.
My God.
I'm just so glad to learn a little bit about the power of the Word of God, man. It did help me a lot.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, with life, though, comes instruction, doesn't it? If you live through an experience and it don't kill you, there should be some kind of lesson you can gain from it. Would you agree with that, Josh?
Yes, I would. And I also would think that more people would get married if they knew what is the right way to go. You see, a lot of people don't know the right way to go. So they are not trying to do the right things.
My God. You better say that, boy. You better say that now. You're preaching that, Josh. You're preaching that. And unfortunately, this present generation, Josh, and I'm not downing anybody, but Pastor Waller, our generation and the one before us, somehow we dropped the ball in teaching males and females, like Josh was saying, what is the proper way for you to naturally engage with one another? You're supposed to be attracted to one another. And when you get together, you're supposed to be able to procreate, right, and extend life. That's what God's plan was for you. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And in 2021, we need some mothers talking to these young girls. You understand what I'm saying?
No doubt about that. Even
Josh.
Even...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. One second, Josh. Go ahead, Pastor. I cut the Pastor Wall off. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, even if you have the information and they're not reaching out for it, it makes it tough, like Josh was saying. There's no way that they can tap into that. But when you have that hunger and thirst, when you have learned, and it may not come as quick as you would like, but at least you're ready for it. So when you do occur, the Word of God and learning of it. Yeah, go ahead.
When y'all were talking, I was thinking about the sinners. Josh, they said early one Sunday morning, breakfast was on the table. And look. There was no time to eat because she said to me, watch this, Pastor Waller, boy, hurry.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had a witness. Listen. Mama will tell you, don't walk, run to hear the Word of God, and it'll guide you. It will sustain you. Help us, Holy Ghost. It'll fortify you. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody correct me now. What say y'all?
Hey, I like you.
I want to emphasize the point that we've talked about fatherhood before. We will again, but tonight, as we prepare for Mother's Day coming up this weekend, not that I think Mother's Day is just one day of the year, right? And I said it earlier that it should be recognized every day of your life. You understand what I'm saying? Those that are here and those that are going on now. But it's vitally important, I believe, for us to also keep in mind formal position, this motherhood, this state of being, this state of position, right, is something that has value and is important. And if nothing else, Josh, what a mother does is teach her children to find the voice of righteousness, to understand that you didn't get here. Yes, I gave birth to you, but for God, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I feel my help coming now, Josh. I feel my help coming now. Yeah. If it wasn't for the grace and the mercy, there are a lot of children that are not being born. They die, unfortunately, before they come out and rest their soul.
Yeah, that is sad. It is so sad.
It is, but it's real. And there are a lot of people who can't have children, who want to desperately have children, right? But my point here is that a vital lesson that a mother teaches her children is the fact that if it wasn't for the Creator, none of us would be here right now. Huh? Now, I heard what Pastor Paula said his mother told him on her sick bed. Boy, you need some rest. Did you get any rest, Pastor? Did you wind up getting any rest?
5 years later, man. But I didn't forget what she said. It took me 5 years because I was in the storm of life during that time with no defense on how to get free. But I heard the power of her words stand to me, because my father was in prison. And, he had been in prison for a life sentence, actually two of them. And being that he was there, he had already told me, he said, whatever you do, don't come to the prison. Don't come to prison. In other words, to make sure that I do whatever I can outside the gate to stay away from the prison. And so I didn't get no rest. I used to fall out. So that was a form of not sleeping. You understand? Mm-hmm. It was until I went to seek and get some help in 1990. Around 1992, I ended up being able to get me some rest, man. I mean, I had a long run, but it's not an easy run. I couldn't get away from the things that was controlling me during that time. Street life had a grip on me. So I knew where she was coming from. I'd never done anything. I wouldn't do anything in front of her, but she knew her child. That's what a mother's love is about, as she talked about earlier. So that's why she was able to say that to me. She knew that I was having a time in the streets, and by her being in the hospital like that and telling me that, I was actually motivated by the voice that I continued to hear until I got me something that I didn't have at first, and that was some direction on how to get to that. And that came going through the Word of God and that visit that happened when I went to church that time. Years later, man, I remember it was years later. So, but it happened.
Yeah.
It didn't come when I wanted it to. It was right on time, man. No more running, jumping, no more dodging and hiding from the police. That's rest. That's rest right there.
Josh, what about the surrogate mother? Someone who didn't give physical birth to you, but they loved you, they taught you, they fed you, they clothed you, they reared you, and they love you just like a biological mother. What about that?
What are you saying?
Someone who didn't give physical birth to you. You didn't come out of their womb, but they love you just like you did. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yeah. It's pretty much the same. I think you're supposed to conditionally love them just like the church loved us.
Christ loved the church. Watch out, Dad. Watch out, man.
All right.
Josh is only one thing missing now. Where's the husband that loved that wife like Christ? Where the husband at? Uh-oh. Help us over.
I thought we weren't talking about that today.
We'll get back. Hey, we're coming to that. Let's not jump ahead. No, but yeah, that's a powerful point you make. That's a powerful point. I think, gentlemen, that Pastor Waller, it's a huge, I was going to say misunderstanding. I'm trying to find another word. A misnomer, a misunderstanding about what the function and the role. I know some people don't like that word role, Joshua. It's politically incorrect, 2021. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That's the very thing we need in 2021 is to have structure and discipline in the role of a mother. And that's what motherhood is. Motherhood is the covering for the role and the function that is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll save some of our babies out here from the juggeries of the streets. And the enemy, I waiting for them. They just out there looking for them, man. And they can smell them when they come back down. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of baby. I was watching with my children some years ago, but we used to watch the Animal Kingdom series on National Geographic, Josh. Never ceased to amaze me how these lions and these other tigers and what have you, how they sit and they plan to go after their prey. And they would sit for hours, Josh, watching a herd and go back. And they would look and spot out the baby. My God. Knowing that when everybody else took off running, the baby wouldn't be able to leave fast enough. How about that, John?
Mm-hmm.
There are predators out there just waiting for. And look. I even saw one where an eagle swooped down and grabbed this baby rabbit, man, and watched the mama with all the other rabbits. Watched it for a long time and set his eyes on it. Scoop, bam. Baby gone. We got to make sure that the enemy, my God, does not scoop down on our babies. Help us, Holy Ghost. What about that, God?
I know that's right.
Well, Pastor, I feel like preaching now, so I better bring myself in, collect myself, because I can feel my health coming right now. I can feel my
health coming. Well, you
do it. But I didn't come to preach tonight. But Josh, if I had to take a text, if I had to take a theme, a subject for tonight, it would be where the mama's at. Where the mama's at? 2021. If I had to preach, Josh, that's what I'd be preaching. Where the mama's at? You understand what I'm saying? That ain't no put down. Huh? That ain't no put down. I think we're doing better sometimes than what we give ourselves credit for. I know that they're there, Pastor Waller. And I believe that when we hear people on the news crying out for certain things, particularly for the carnage in the streets where young people are dying, killing one another and things of that nature, this is what's missing. And as a pastor, as a man of God,
whoever you are, it is beneficial to recognize that if you don't do nothing else, that you instill the word of God, Titus, 2nd chapter, verses 4 and 5, and you pose the question to people, whether they're in the church or not, who can find a virtuous woman, as asked in Proverbs 31 and 10. As we work toward the answer to that question, we can get somewhere. We can grow. We can develop. Because I'm looking for them. You know, I got mine, Josh. You know, I had my woman for 25 plus years now. You understand? I ain't looking now right now. I ain't out there. I ain't out there looking, Josh. I'm just saying, for those who are coming up behind me. You understand what I'm saying? Well, the Bible says, he that findeth, somebody help me with this. Help me finish this sentence. He that findeth a what?
Find himself a wife, brother. Find himself a good thing.
My God, yeah. Wait a minute, Pastor. Find a girlfriend. Find a lady on the side.
Find a good thing. He obtained favor from the Lord. That's that.
My Lord. See that. So, Josh, what should we be looking for? I'm sorry, Pastor. Let me be quiet. Hush, Doctor. Let Pastor Walker talk.
What do
you say, brother?
Amen. If you have favor in there on it, that makes it all work. You got to have, when you obtain favor from the Lord, you're in good shape.
Okay. So, Josh, why can't I just find me a gal? Can I just find me a gal and it'll be all right? Does it have to be a wife?
Oh, yes. Sooner or later, it has to be a wife. First, of course, you introduce yourself and stuff like that, but there's a process. This is a marriage that is supposed to be everlasting, 24/7.
Watch it now. Yes, sir. I'm with you. Go ahead. You're trying to sneak a preacher in on me, but I'm following you. I get you.
It's everlasting. So when you get whoever you can get, it's done with. You have to keep the person internally forever and ever.
Well, what if I just wanted to live in with him, Josh? We just want to stay together. We don't want to really mess up our love for one another by going to the altar. That may cause us to fall out of love with one. What about that logic right there?
It can't happen yet. But so many people do it, but it's not supposed to happen like that.
Well, watch this, Josh. It's an intentional thing, isn't it? It is a conscious decision between a man and a woman to intentionally work together. I was talking about in the monologue how, as a pastor, I was fortunate to pastor some couples who had been married 50 and 60 years, man. and I would ask them, what's the secret? You know what I mean? And one of them, Pastor Wallace, told me, Deacon McCall, rest his soul, he said, well, every so often I just have to go on out and take a long walk, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was saying is that they worked even through the hard times to be one and to be together and to live through those times, right, and to let that be the cement that kept them together all the years that they were together. And that really did do them far. I know of at least four or five couples who, you know, over, well, yeah, 50 years. Over 50 years that they were, you know, in matrimony. And that's something that mothers should teach young girls. That's something that mothers should teach young girls, the value of that. We missed that today in 2021. It's gone. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase that. It appears that it's gone. We may not know of the people that are doing it. We may not see them. We just may not be privy to the fact that it's. But when you look at the news, when you look at these TV shows, and you look outside, all you see is a, you know, is a hot mess. It's a hot mess. And God can't be pleased with it.
Well, actually, it's a good mess. You like what you see. Actually, you like what you see.
Well, no, I'm talking about, for instance, okay, this fellow was riding with me, Josh, and this young lady was walking, just innocently walking down the street. But from behind, it looked like she was 40 years old. When you got up to her and saw her little face, she couldn't have been no more than 15 or 16. You with me, Josh? And the fellow that was riding with me was like, man, good God, look at that. And I had a laugh off of him, Josh, because when we got up on him, I said, now that's a little baby, man. There you are right there with all that. And that, look at that little baby. Man, I didn't know. She looked like a grown woman. That's a hot mess I'm talking about. That's a hot mess. Brother, don't you look at no woman. I don't care. You don't know how old she is. And sometimes now, Josh, it may not be a female. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Goodness.
That's a whole nother conversation, Josh. We only got 16 minutes. I can't go there. But my point is that. Not tonight, Josh. It's the basic respect for womanhood that I'm talking about. And teaching young girls to grow up to be sober, to be chaste, to be discreet, right? To be. Pastor Wallace, does it take anything away from a woman's beauty and her glory to do those things? Is anything wrong with that in 2021? I wish I had some ladies to talk to me about, but that's all right. Pastor Wallace, you hear me? All right, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Oh, there you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's say that again.
I was asking, does it take anything away from the beauty and the value of a young lady to be discreet in her actions, to be chaste, to be respectful, to be subdued and laid back? Does that take anything away from her to do that?
The question is, does it take anything from her to carry out all those things that you talked about? I think it adds to her, but I don't think it takes nothing from her.
Okay.
You know, it has,
okay.
So to have self-respect and to walk in these principles of the integrity of life, and you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just not learning those things, and that's something, as I said, society is not built of that for the most part, so you have to exercise those things by way of discipline, self-discipline, training. You know, it comes from a form of love in the community. That's been
wow.
That's been going on contrary to that for so long. You get the chance to adopt that way of life, which caused you not to walk in integrity or to. Did to have that morally self-respect that should be displayed at all times. So it's not easy when you're influenced by so many different things, and that I say, that's being sold to a person, that's been seen as it passed by, as being heard from listening to, and when you combine all those elements, it gives an intelligent, curious person a different avenue sometimes, and it snaps them up. Yeah, I want to get into that, and that's how it goes. It happens that way a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I've seen people in a situation where they have to choose. Am I going to go there where they are, or am I going to stay over here where actually I'm comfortable, I don't have no problem, and I'm going to sit here and contemplate on, but I wonder what they're doing over there. All of a sudden, man, they ease over there and find out, oh, man, this is my bad. Well, they check at that point. They got out of the comfort zone. They got out of the place where they didn't have no problems on living and enjoying their lives. But they just want to get with it. This crowd has power a lot of times, man. It won't take anything from a person if they're walking and fail to that.
Josh, you know what I told my daughter?
Oh, what did you tell her?
I said, I'm going to be your boyfriend until you get married. I'm your man. And I bet not nobody else holler at you until you ready. But no, seriously, though, I did let her know that if you don't set standards and qualities for yourself, it's perfectly fine to look for the opportunity, you know, to be with someone in a committed relationship. When I say committed, I'm talking about a marriage relationship ultimately. I'm not saying you're going to do that right away, but I'm saying ultimately. But I said that to say that I let her know that it's very important that you set your own standard. Now, she has some goals and things that she want to accomplish in terms of establishing herself and that sort of thing. That's perfectly fine. But the Word of God has a plan for us all. And we should all seek the kingdom first and all of righteousness. The Bible said that everything we want, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, will be added to you. You can have, T.I., the rap song guy said, you can have whatever you like. Yeah, Josh, you don't know nothing about T.I., though. Let me leave it alone. I'm just saying, whatever you want, if you seek his righteousness, his order, his divine plan for you, you can have prosperity. You can have happiness. Even in 20, there are a lot of people who claim and profess to be happy because they're dibbling and dabbling as fast as want to step out there on the other side. And guess what? When they come on with a belly throwing up and what have you, they realize, you know what? I ain't even like that. That wasn't even good. I ain't even want to do that. It never pays me how people go out and get sloppy drunk, then come back with a hangover and regret. But somebody go right back. What's up with that, man? What's up with that? Okay, all right. We've been talking from the topic, the need for motherhood in 2021. If you don't know it, you didn't know it, now you know that our babies need motherly guidance. That was a time, Pastor Waller, when you can go to the church, and if a young lady came incorrect, half naked or out of mind, guess who the first person that would greet at the door, Pastor? You know that. You know the first person. Huh?
Yeah.
Hold on, Josh. Let the pastor. What do you say, Pastor?
Yeah, I would say the mother usually be the one that would confront them like that.
That's right.
They seen something.
That's right. And they wouldn't confront them judgmentally either. Oh, they come and show them some love. Come on, baby. Hey, baby. Come here, baby. Let me talk to you. And look, yeah. if they were dressed right, pastors, in many places, this used to be a thing now. You don't see it these days, it seems like. In many places, they had a storage room of clothes, to get you right. When you came back in there, you were looking like you were sanctified. I'm getting sanctified, ladies, mom, get saved once. I wish I had a woman tonight. Where the church is at with that,
Doc?
Where we at with that, man?
I don't know. That's strange, man. Yeah, that's bringing back the good old days right there, when you can get that type
of concern
or that type of love. You know, that would be outstanding, man. Outstanding.
Right. They let the babies come in there now, and all of a sudden everybody, the chatter and the whisper, look at them, they know better than that child. I don't want to look at that. Somebody ought to tell that child. Somebody ought to teach them. Well, get up and teach them, doggone it. You're not there. The Bible says judgment, Joshua, begin in the wet in the house of God. Let me calm down, Josh. Let me calm down. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Hopefully when churches open back up, we'll see more of this, Pastor Wallace. I'm praying that God would place it on somebody's heart to do this again, because this will save some folks. See, people are running away from the worship experience now, and we need to make ministry relevant enough so they'll come running to it. Huh? And it'd be like the writer said, they'll come running and ask the question, what must I do?
Yeah, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be great.
That would be great, but the time is coming to kill, destroy, and murder.
Yes, sir.
That's true. Pastor, what have you done with the time, man? There's only 6 minutes left.
Oh, yeah, man.
And we were just starting to have fun, Josh. Let me say this before I give you a final word, Josh. Thursday, Pastor, we're probably going to just have an hour show Thursday. I have another commitment that I have to attend to. And I'm going to be running at from the studio to get there. So Thursday will go from 7 to 8. All right, Josh, give me a final word before over to Pastor Waller.
The show was great.
You made it so. Thank you very much. You made it. All right. We appreciate that, Josh. Always, you know, mi casa es su casa. So you always go better. Help yourself. Don't ask for nothing. If you don't go feed yourself, you're going to be hungry around here, brother, because you at home. All right. Thank you again, Brother Josh. All right, Pastor Wallace, let's wrap it up for tonight, man. And we'll come back Thursday for another episode of Talk Straight there.
Hey, man, you know, Talk Straight is something that I believe when a person call in, they'll have a right to be able to express themselves. And we like to encourage anyone who desires to do that. We will entertain, you know, what they have to say and, you know, have conversation. And then for those who actually just would like to listen, we appreciate those. But most of all, we thank God for the assembly. As Brother Josh said, tonight we have had an interesting show tonight.
That's right.
The Word of God, where there's two or three, Pastor Doctor. Gathered together in his name.
Yes, sir.
And agreeing, they be in the midst. And so that makes it, like Josh said, you know, it's a great show, because when the Lord is in the midst of it, that's what makes it all right. So we did have a crowd tonight, because we had more than two. That's where the Jordan said that. And he said in his word, if I be lifted up from the earth,
then what?
I'll draw unto me. And so we had just lifting him up as we have done. We called someone to draw closer to him. So we just celebrate that he gave us a day that we never have seen before. That's why he feels the day that the Lord God has made. Tell us to rejoice and to be glad with. And I believe that we have a right to praise him. We have a right to lift his name up. We have a right to call upon him. We also have a right to utilize the scripture. And no one on this night was able to interfere with it. Isn't it good to know, brother, that we can take time out to just thank God for him being God, man, and giving us a chance to draw a little bit closer to him. So I yield back to you on this note, Dr. Doctor, and I believe it with all my heart, man. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And that's why I believe, talking about the mother tonight, that someone may do just what you said, come running and ask them what must they do to get close to him. That he can guide them. It's all truth. And with that, I yield back to you on that note, Dr. Doctor. Yes, sir.
And we'll be back on Thursday, Lord willing, for another episode of Talk to You. You listen to Talk Radio, this is your host, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace. Tonight we were talking from the thought in a world where the need for motherhood in 2021. So we'll be back Thursday, 7:00 p.m. for another episode of Talk to You. We'll see you then.
But they live on in memory, quite a few of us. And this song is dedicated to those who cherish that memory.
There's only one time they want him. Breakfast was on the table. There was no time to me. She said to me, I'm in this room, filled with a lot of glory. He made my home with the rain. She always cared for me, despite the pain.